Well, I start by saying, you know, global capitalism has never been more threatening to human life on Earth. And every generation invents its movements and methods that ensure its survival, building on what went before and creating what needs to manifest. Determining the difference between going for ideas and going for what feels wrong, every generation creates its own simple revolutions and creates its own structures and theories. For much of my lesbian generation, the structure was a house, and the purpose was to nurture bonds of love. A house is like a theory, functioning as a structure to help keep us safe as we sally out into the wind-torn world. A house, like a theory, can sustain and also constrict possibility. In a story I have told, I see a trail of living spaces that grew more substantial the more a feminist and lesbian movement developed a public life. A house in my life and in the lesbian movement came to mean a place where love between women can be cherished and can make a mark on the world. The trail in my life began in an unsuccessful room of my own with my parents on the neighbor's porch, to my first lover and I having no space at all to be in love with each other, to my house arrest in the service, which was confinement to a room and no one speaking to me, just ostracism that still hurts me, and the roommate dutifully spying on me. But the trail widened when my first lover metaphorically created a house of rebellion. She bought a house, and then she refused to put any furniture in it. She was a school teacher, and her family would come over, and they would all sit on the floor, and they would say, "What is the matter with you?" And she would say, "This is my house, and I'll furnish it the way I want to." And she was making a statement, wasn't she? A metaphoric statement about the state of things at that time, which was 1966. And then I went on to love-saturated mattresses on floors that kept my red diaper baby raised New York lover, Wendy, who wanted a revolution like me, tangled in each other's arms and whose spareness enabled all the adventurous freedom anyone could want. The crucial lesson of the collective lesbian households was that a household needed to address a number of unmet needs for love and caring that were social, not individual, in their origin. Extending outward from the base of households, women began to occupy public space in the women-owned bookstores, clinics, and presses, at the music festivals, and much, much more. Likewise, various social theories, Marxism, socialism, black nationalism, and eventually feminism, served as structures that spurred us to foment rebellion on a number of fronts. Yet the limitations of each one required us to step outside its framework in order to lift our noses in the air, to find for ourselves which way the wind blows, and be original in creating methods responsive to our own lived needs. We have to be both home and wanderer, as Adrienne wrote. We need the structure, but only if we also have our senses tuned to the wind, that wise, talkative migrant. The wind in the Bay Area is a daily experience, and because it's mostly the onshore breathing of the ocean, it has a complexity to it. In the evenings and sometimes in the mornings as well, the ocean breath is a cloud of fog, a fractal being that pours through the low places in the coastal mountains, softly flooding across certain urban or forest areas with its enveloping, diffuse, cool gray light. Nearly every afternoon, the wind whips up, stirring the trees to a talkative wildness, whisking up the busy streets of the Mission and across the bay through all the local cities, waking everyone up. Hats blow off, people wrap their arms around their waists and make remarks about needing to remember to always carry a jacket in California. Nothing stays the same for very long. Renewal is the song in the air. The moving air stirs up questions. What else can we think? How deeply can we feel? What more can we know? What different ways can we act? These thoughts are in the restless breath of the wind. The air also moves when people talk together. Perhaps this breath is what drives the notion of a simple revolution more than anything. The wind that shows up every day, relentless and faithfully working away, cleaning up and rearranging, yet always asking the questions, what needs doing? How best can do this? How do I take care of myself in the midst of changes? What is my stake in this? How much pressure needs to be exerted? Who has been left out? How do we stay centered, especially centered in love, while redefining what feels like everything? Everyone wants love to be his own, to be her own. But what is it that love wants? What does love want to know? Everyone wants love to follow them down their road. Where is it that love wants to go?